Welcome back to BSA by Design, a podcast about transforming healthcare, educational, and research facilities through expert design and insight. I'm your host, Brian Moore. Thanks for joining us again. I'm glad to be joined today by some members of our interior design team who recently attended NeoCon. NeoCon has served as the world's leading platform and most important event of the year for the commercial interior design industry since 1969. A launchpad for innovation, NeoCon offers ideas and introductions that shape the built environment today and into the future. Our guests on this episode include Katie Kanagi, Kaylee Main, and Daniel Hinke. Katie Kanagi is a Senior Interior Designer 2 and Interiors Lead at BSA and based out of our St. Louis studio. She has NCIDQ and EDAC certifications and is a registered interior designer in Missouri and Arkansas and a professional member of the IIDA. Katie graduated from the University of Nebraska in Lincoln with a Bachelor of Science in Interior Design. She also holds an Associate Degree in Applied Science from Metropolitan Community College in Omaha. Katie has been with BSA since 2014. Kaylee Main is an Interior Designer 2 located in our Raleigh studio. Kaylee has NCIDQ and RID certifications and is also a member of the IIDA. She has a Bachelor of Arts Design in Interior Design from the University of Florida. She also holds an Associate of Arts degree from Valencia College. Kaylee has been with BSA since June of 2021 and was also a previous intern at the firm. Daniel Hinke is an interior designer with BSA and located in our Indianapolis studio. She has WELL AP certification and graduated from Purdue University with a degree in interior design. Prior to joining BSA in early 2024, she worked for Restart Design Studio.
All right. Well, Danielle, Kaylee, Katie, thank you all for joining me. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Thanks for having us.
Awesome. It's a tradition for first-time guests, first question out of the box on the podcast to kind of share what inspired them to get into their profession. So I'd like to start with having each of you share how you got into interior design. And Katie, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, so I actually started my career as an architectural drafter. My dad used to take me into homes that were being built around his. And so I got to see, you know, buildings kind of from the studs up. And I used to sketch floor plans as a kid and went on to take drafting classes in high school. I was usually the only girl in those classes. And then when I started college, I actually started in the architecture program at the University of Nebraska and started working in smaller firms while I was in college doing a lot of that drafting work. And I think it gave me more exposure to like the whole project experience and construction administration and, you know, those things that we don't always interact with a lot during class when you're in school. I started to realize that maybe architecture wasn't exactly what I was looking for because I really wanted to work more with materials and colors, and I have a crafty side of me as well. And so that's when I began to realize that maybe interior design was a little bit more what I was looking for instead of architecture. So I changed my major just before my third year.
Danielle, how about you?
Yeah, I learned more about my passion for interior design by growing up in a farmhouse built in the 1880s, which you can imagine had endless renovation projects that me and my dad worked on. I was his number one partner. And through all those projects, I just really realized how passionate I was about visualizing spaces and how much that can impact the end user. So I've known from a young age that this is exactly what I wanted to do. And here I am.
A farmhouse from the 1800s. So hammer in hand, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Kaylee, how about you?
I grew up watching my grandfather draft floor plans in the dining room when I was younger. He's actually a real estate agent, but he had a passion for architecture and he taught himself how to draft by hand, which was really cool. I saw all the little architectural tools on his table. So that was fun to play with when I was younger. Yeah. But he used to tell me all the stories of his clients and how much he loved watching people positively react to the interiors of the homes he sold. And I loved how he talked about the interior spaces, which is ultimately how I knew interior design was something I was going to pursue. It was something we bonded over, especially throughout design school.
Well, that's really cool. So you each have an influence from either a dad or a grandpa that kind of showed you a little side of it. I think that's fascinating. So let's shift our focus to kind of the topic that I brought you on the show for, which is NeoCon. I understand NeoCon took place this summer, and I'd kind of like to go around the table and talk a little bit about why we attend NeoCon. Kaylee, if you'll start us off on this question.
Yeah, so as designers, I think it's important for us to stay up to date on trends and to educate ourselves and our clients on what's new in the industry. NeoCon is essentially the hub for commercial interior design industry. So there's like 13 floors of different manufacturers and people coming from all over the world to show what they have. We attend to scope out innovative technology or to see what's new regarding manufacturers and their sustainability efforts, or even just to gain some great inspiration for upcoming projects.
Excellent. And is it pretty full there? Like, what's the attendance like?
It is busy. It is very full. Yes.
Yeah. How many
thousands of people from all over the world. It's crazy.
And is it how many days roughly?
Three.
3 days. Wow. That's a lot of people attending. Danielle, what were some of your takeaways of why we attend NeoCon? I know that you've been here a few. You started with BSA earlier this year, so I'm curious for you.
Yeah. So I think attending NeoCon is so important for us to maybe just open our eyes a little bit more beyond the designs and innovation we see in our home regions. And so that we're able to learn and draw inspiration from not only other parts of the country, but really globally. And especially speaking from our indie office, I know the Midwest can be a little notorious for being behind on some sustainability things, but it's a great opportunity for us to see what other parts of the world are already doing and to kind of ramp up what we're doing here at BSA to align with those sustainability goals.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. I guess I'll hit on that for a second. And I mentioned it when I was doing your bios in the intro, but Danielle, you're from our indie studio. Katie, you're in Kansas City, but rooted with our St. Louis studio. So a couple Midwest, and then Keely, you're in Raleigh. Are you guys seeing things from a different viewpoint when you're attending NeoCon?
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kaylee, how about you? Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I went this year with looking strictly at furniture. We also run into some of our clients there. I know we were with Justin, and we were walking into some of the showrooms. We were running into some of his clients as well, so it was pretty awesome.
And then Katie, how about you? I assume you've attended NeoCon several times. Kind of what's your takeaway of why it's important to attend?
I have. Yeah, I've honestly lost count of, I think, how many times I've been to NeoCon just over the course of my career, not even just since I've been with BSA. But I always find it to be such an inspiring experience overall. I mean, like Kaylee and Danielle said, we go oftentimes with projects in mind and specific things that you're looking for, and also just to stay up on kind of what's new in the industry. But I think Danielle said, with people who come from all over the world to go to NeoCon and attend NeoCon, I get a lot of inspiration just from seeing even just the people, different fashion styles and how people are congregating together. And you hear like different languages, even just as you're walking through the halls. You know, the other big thing too is a lot of the, since so many major manufacturers are kind of headquartered in the merchandise mart where NeoCon takes place, a lot of them are renovating their showrooms like every couple of years to try to keep things fresh and on trend. And so I often get a lot of inspiration even just from seeing the different showroom designs. And for a manufacturer that may not always apply to one of our specific projects, but you can still see it and think about how you might incorporate something similar.
That's really interesting. And then Kaylee, I heard you mention you were there today or this year, kind of looking specifically at furniture. And that sparked a question of, does the projects you're working on, getting ready to work on, kind of change your perspective when you're attending a conference like that?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, we work on healthcare and higher ed projects. So, I mean, walking into these furniture showrooms, I mean, it depends on whether it's in one focus on higher ed or healthcare, but it definitely gets the gears flowing on how we shape some of our spaces because, I mean, our furniture projects are a couple of years out and we're in the design for the actual projects themselves. Seeing what's out there and what's new will help us shape like the spaces that we are designing.
I think I would add to that too, that I think when we're there for with a specific project in mind, because there is so much to see, it helps you narrow your focus a little bit
Yeah, you got the blinders on a little bit.
Yeah, because if you don't have a particular project in mind, then it can be very overwhelming. You have to like plan out your time and what you're going to see when, versus when you have a project that you're looking for something specific, it can really help hone your timing and your path of what you want to see while you're there and what you want to get out of it.
And Danielle, I know this isn't your first time attending NeoCon, even though this has been your first year attending it with BSA. What have you noticed in the past too?
Well, so I've only been one other time before with my previous firm, and they did more hospitality and multifamily. Okay. Almost felt like an entirely new conference for me.
Like a first time for you. Yeah.
I was looking at completely different furniture types and just showrooms in general that maybe I completely missed out on the previous year. I'm now focusing on this year. So although I have been there before, it definitely felt like a whole new ball game this year.
Right. Mindset definitely switched depending on which industry you're kind of covering. That makes sense. So I'm going to bounce around again to get your perspectives on this. Any trends that you saw coming out of the conference this year in terms of colors or environments or things that could be implemented specifically in our healing, learning, and discovery environments? And Danielle, I'm going to stick with you and let you start us off.
Yeah, I definitely saw an emphasis on flexible and adaptable furniture solutions. And we've been seeing these for a while now, especially like mobile desking and collaboration zones. One of my favorite innovations that I saw was there was a huddle room made from demountable partitions that could actually expand or shrink depending on the size room you needed at the time by just clicking a button on a remote. So it just really showed flexibility is such a, it definitely showed the importance of flexibility is still desired greatly, whether it's in workspaces or lobby spaces, just so you can adapt your space to fit your current needs. And we all know since COVID, just even the office in America has changed so greatly
than how we
work and the settings we need. So I think furniture solutions are continuing to be pushed on how flexible we can make the space.
It's a good takeaway. Katie, how about you?
Yeah, so I think having been as many times as I have, it can be really tricky to incorporate trends into our, you know, primary practice types. Healthcare especially is an area that tends to shy away from trends. We want things to be a little bit more timeless and classic and that kind of stuff. But two things that I think maybe started as trends or people thought they were going to be trends that really have stuck around is this idea of biophilia and sustainability. I remember when some of the first times I went to NeoCon and started seeing like plants in people's showrooms and these really like nature inspired color palettes and things like that. And so I think they really started out as trends, but they've really stuck around because it's been scientifically proven, you know, the impact that exposure to nature and natural elements can have on our well-being and the way you feel when you occupy your space. So I think those in particular have become really essential concepts that we can incorporate into all of our project types, whether it's healthcare or learning or discovery projects. They have a place, I think, in all of our markets.
Now, that makes a lot of sense. And what you mentioned at the very beginning with in healing, tending to shy away from trends because these buildings are meant to last for, you know, 50 plus years, right? So it's kind of counterintuitive to attending not just NeoCon, but a lot of conferences are built around like what's new, what's innovative, so that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Good points. Kaylee, how about you?
So I went this year because of a couple of projects in mind. So I actually spent the majority of my time at NeoCon in and out of all of the different furniture showrooms.
Right.
So in addition to seeing trends about flexible and adaptable furniture solutions that Danielle touched on, a more physical one is that I saw there was definitely a trend in incorporating those softer edges and organic forms, but as well as giving users options within a space. So not everyone works or learns the same way. So it was interesting seeing how furniture manufacturers lay out a space, give the users a sense of choice. I think this idea could definitely absolutely changed the way we lay out spaces in each of our project types. Of course, there were a couple more aesthetic runs. I saw boucle fabric and sage green everywhere.
Really?
Yeah, it was everywhere.
Sage green is the color of 2024, huh?
Yes, according to Neocon showrooms.
Does that, back to, I guess to tie in with Katie's point, does that tie back in, and this is, you know, coming from a marketing person, so I'm not in your discipline, but is that that sage green tying back into that idea of biophilia at all?
Sure, oh. I would definitely say so.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Totally.
Well, then I feel smarter than I thought I was when I started.
You're learning.
That's right. I'm picking it up, you know, very slowly. So for each of you, a two-parter here, and I'll start with Katie. But first, what was the most innovative thing you saw at Neocon? And second, how do you think it could apply to what we do at BSA?
Yeah, so I had the opportunity to attend a presentation that was being given by one of our flooring manufacturers where they shared a new partnership with a startup company that's actually based in Chicago. And this company has created a process for breaking down old materials back into a raw material state using mushrooms, of all things. Mycelia, I think, is what it was called. And so then they are taking that, you know, reprocessed raw material and reincorporating it into new products. So it's taking the place of, like, you know, filler materials, and it's reducing the need to extract virgin raw materials from the planet, from nature, and reducing the reliance on plastics, right? We're hearing all over the news these days how bad plastics are, not only for the planet, but for, you know, for us as people. And so taking that recycling idea and cradle to cradle idea to a whole new level, I thought was really cool. And I think it'll further the number of sustainable material options that we have to specify in our projects to be able to create even healthier spaces. I'd love to see us get to a place where we can specify existing materials to be removed and recycled, not just whether or not the project is trying to attain a LEED certification, because sometimes that can be the roadblock to it. That was really cool this year.
As we've all kind of alluded to, sustainability is such a huge component of a lot of the projects that we do. So that's a really good takeaway as well. Danielle, how about you?
Yeah, I was most excited to see some more resilient flooring companies starting to offer PVC-free options in their LVP and other resilient floorings. It is a newer product on the market, so we will want to see how they can perform long-term, just like how we were talking about how our buildings need to be built to last in health and education. We're going to want to see how they last long-term before we implement too much into our projects. But I feel like it's very encouraging to see that we are headed towards a cleaner and more sustainable future, and hoping that we can join the train once we know that these products can hold up to what we need them to do.
Right, so they can last. I gotcha. Kaylee, how about you?
I absolutely agree with Danielle on this one. The emphasis on PVC-free flooring this year was huge. I had an idea that was going to be there when we showed up there, because I started doing a little bit more research on it for a project, but it was really great seeing how many manufacturers are coming up with those healthier products. I am currently working on a project where we are using PVC-free resilient flooring throughout the entirety to help create a healthier building. And we did start with the idea of a PVC-free resilient, one of the newer ones in the market, but we ultimately went with linoleum, which is a natural product, because it's just been around for so many years and we can bet its durability. But it's great to have more PVC-free options for our clients out there now, especially once we see how they stand up after some time.
Nice. So sustainability, a huge takeaway from each of you. I like that a lot. And it ties into my next question, ironically. It's like we planned this. Whenever possible, I do like to try to ask a question about sustainability on the show, given the podcast episode that we might be talking about. Since it's just such a huge focus in all of our disciplines, were there, other than a couple that you've mentioned, were there any other eco-friendly materials or practices highlighted at Neocon this year?
Yeah, I'll answer this one. So sustainability efforts were highlighted everywhere at this year's conference. Besides the emphasis on the PVC-free flooring, there was a huge focus on circular design, which is a practice of creating durable, reusable, recycled products that generate minimal or zero waste. It highlights mindful manufacturing in the complete product life cycle, which is awesome. It was also refreshing to see some innovative technologies being used. Katie mentioned it before, but manufacturers are using the root structure of mushrooms to break down construction waste, which is pretty fascinating.
That is really fascinating. I don't think I gave that enough credit when she was answering, but using, you know, something in our environment to be able to help break things down. Just
yeah, it's crazy.
Really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty mind-blowing.
So then, and this is open to any of you, in a general sense, how is sustainability shaping the future of interior design based on what you've all seen at NeoCon?
I can take this one, Brian. Okay. So I think in this day and age, anyone in the interior design industry is really part of the sustainability discussion and the undeniable impact that design and construction has on the planet. I think, you know, based on what we saw at NeoCon and what I've seen in the past and this year, we continue to see this commitment from these huge manufacturing companies that are producing products we specify to lessen their impact on the world around us as much as they can, just by doing what we do every day. We don't have to, you know, have a particular, like I said, lead to certification project to be able to incorporate a lot of these sustainable processes into the baseline efforts of our practice. So I think rather than having to make those special efforts, it's becoming easier for us to be sustainable just by what we're doing every day.
And then Kaylee, I wanted to ask you, which technology do you think will have the biggest impact on interior design in the near future based on some of the things you've seen?
Yeah. So in general, I think the continuation of improving spaces to support video conferencing, it's a relatively newish concept, especially since COVID. I think seeing the manufacturers show different ways of having huddle rooms and phone booths, it's helping us designers become more mindful of acoustics and visual privacy. Just the way that furniture is placed to improve the interaction between someone in the room versus someone on the screen. It's becoming increasingly more popular in all market sectors, whether it's a telehealth appointment, virtual classes, or just collaboration between different offices like we do on a daily basis. I think we're going to see a lot more types of rooms like to support video conferencing.
Well, this has been really good. Before we wrap up, I'm going to throw one out to you. And if you can't answer because you're working on a confidential project or something like that, that's totally fine. But anybody have a project that they're working on right now that they're particularly excited about?
So we are working with Wake Tech right now in the Perry Health Sciences campus. We are creating a simulation hospital with them. Siemens is donating millions of dollars of equipment, and it's going to be an actual training facility for Siemens as well. And there's only a couple of those in the entire world. And this is the project that we're using PVC free flooring throughout your building throughout. And we're going for Green Globes, which is a difficult certification to get. Right now we're at 2, almost 3.
All right. Nice. Very nice. That's exciting.
I can share the project I'm working on right now.
Sure, Danielle.
Mitch Daniels School of Business up at Purdue, which is my alma mater. So very excited to be working on this one.
Near and dear to your heart.
Absolutely. And it is a new home for the business students up there. There's an innovation lab, a fintech lab, and a lab showcase all in this building. And our goal is to really make it an action-filled building for the students. We want students to go in there and study and learn and have a better place to call home in the business school. So super excited to bring that one to campus.
Katie, do you have any?
I do. So I have a healing project. We just wrapped up some drawings for emergency department addition renovation. And so it's a really intensive type of space. Like I said earlier, it can be a little tricky to incorporate some sustainable practices into that. But I'm really excited about how that project is going to turn out and how it will help patients and visitors feel when they have to come into an emergency department, which can be a really high stress experience.
Well, I'm excited to track all three of those projects. Thank you guys so much for joining me on the show. This has been excellent. And hopefully we can do another recap next year on some of the new things that came out from NeoCon.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Thank you so much.
Thanks again to Katie, Danielle, and Kaylee for joining me on this episode of BSA by Design. You can connect with them all on LinkedIn. If you're interested in learning more about BSA Life Structures, please visit our website at bsalifestructures.com. There's a link in the show notes to contact us for more information. And be sure to subscribe to BSA by Design on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube Music so you don't miss an episode. And we've got more content and project stories to share on social media, so be sure to follow us on LinkedIn, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and X. That's going to do it for this episode. Join us again next time on BSA by Design.